T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
The Sabres fell to the Oilers 7-2 last night in Edmonton. Milan Lucic, Zach Cassian each scored 2 goals for the Oilers. Casey Mittelstadt and Evan Rodriguez scored for Buffalo, which has lost 3 straight. Carter Hutton gave up 5 goals on 12 shots before being pulled at 4:49 of the second period. Linus Allmark, 11 saves in relief. The Sabres' Western road trip continues against the Calgary Flames tomorrow night at 9:30. The Canadiens topped the Bruins 3-2 in overtime last night. That's a worst-case scenario for the Sabres, all of them getting a point. Jeff Petrie scored the game winner with 15 seconds into OT. Carey Price made 41 saves. Montreal leapfrogged the Islanders in the standings and took over the top wildcard spot in the East. In Toronto, Frederik Andersen allowed 4 goals in his return from groin injury. The Maple Leafs lost 6-3 to the Avalanche at Scotiabank Arena on Monday. It was Andersen's first game back since December 22nd. He missed 8 consecutive games, 7 due to the injury and 1 because of the flu. Carl Soderberg scored his first NHL hat-trick and broke a tie with 8:15 remaining in the third period for Colorado, which trailed 2-0 in the second period but rallied to end a 3-game losing streak. St. Louis Blues have their first 3-game winning streak of the season after a 4-1 win against the Washington Capitals at Capital One Arena on Monday. David Perron extended his NHL career-high point streak to 11 games with a goal for the Blues, who have won 5 of 7. Jake Allen made 28 saves. In college basketball, a lot of orange emojis going out last night over Twitter. Syracuse beat the number 1 ranked Duke Blue Devils 95-91 in OT. Syracuse came into the game as 17-point underdog and held Duke to 2 of 8 shooting in the overtime while earning its second victory at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And here's a cool story. I'll save it for the instigator.
Shave it.
That's your sports update for today. I'm Andrew Peters, and we'll head back over to Marty and River. But Oklahoma Sooners quarterback and reigning, get this, boys, reigning Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray has elected to enter his name into the NFL draft, announcing the decision on Twitter on Monday. He chose the NFL over Major League Baseball, for which he has a contract with the Oakland A's that includes a $4.66 million signing bonus.
He has a contract offer or a contract?
Well, probably an offer, right?
Yeah, because he's in college, he can't sign. So he was drafted.
So he's offered almost five million dollar bonus. But I mean, NFL, he's going to make more. He'll get that in bonus.
Well, that was going to be my last this or that. Is that Kyler Murray? Maybe he's using it to negotiate for more money with the A's or whatnot. But if you had the chance to go football or baseball, just for the love of the sport.
Why wouldn't you lead with that? Why wouldn't you lead with, you need to work on that structure,
no,
baby.
No, that's because I knew that was coming in the update, so I didn't want to ruin your update. But Kyler Murray, if you had to pick a sport just for the love of the sport, football or baseball, same money, which one would you pick?
Oh, this is easy.
Football.
I hate baseball, what, but I take baseball all day.
Why would you take baseball?
You see what these guys do? They sit in their stalls all day. They arrive at the clubhouse, sofas, beers in the fridge, food everywhere, like a nice spread. These guys, you can literally be 300
pounds.
What
is this kid?
I would want to be Cecil Fielder's kid, the Prince Fielder.
How about
300
pounds,
hits dingers, and just hangs out all day?
What's the kid play?
He plays football.
I know he plays football, Marty. Like, come on.
Kyler Murray. He's
what position? Calamari is in the food?
Kyler Murray.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Anyway, look, that's him right there. He's on the TV right now. He's really, really good at football and can make a lot of money playing football, but he's also really, really good at the baseball thing.
But you know what's great, though? He can go and try to make it in football. And
can't
then,
play both.
Yeah, you can't.
Why can't you play football for the first 5 years till he's like, what, 25, 26, and then go and play a little baseball? Yeah.
He could, but I mean, after you, because if you go to football full out, that means for 5 years you're basically not hitting balls and not, you know, training for baseball. By the time you're done,
what kind of take on this guy? What's his MO? What are we talking about? What type of player is he?
I don't really know much about.
I heard he's like a 5'9" quarterback. Is he not?
He looks to be a little smaller.
If I were him, I'd be signing that NFL deal, go make as much money as he could, and then see if he can stick around because he's not that big. And then if he doesn't make it there, just head right back over to the old Diamond.
Yeah, which could happen, but I don't know.
Well, Deion Sanders played in both. Bo Jackson played in both.
I
wish they could still do
that.
I know it doesn't happen anymore, Marty. I'm well aware of that.
Deion Sanders played a football game and a baseball game the same day. I mean, that's like when I was in Rochester, Dominic Pittis played a Sabres game during the afternoon and then played a Rochester Americans game that night because he was in the scoring race for the scoring lead in the AHL. So the Sabres says you can do both as long as, you know, you play our game. If our game is first, that's fine. So he played the 1 o'clock game in Buffalo, then at 4 o'clock got in his car, drove to Rochester, got there at 5:30. And then played a 7 o'clock game that night and just so he could get some points.
We had guys do that. We had Cota Leak, Chris Taylor, and Milan Bartovic all come back from Buffalo. They had an afternoon game. It was the game you guys wore your old blue and golds.
Yep.
I think you were playing the New Jersey Devils, last game of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And Tails, Cota Leak, and Bartovic all left, I think, after the second period, drove up because we had to win the game to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like that was when in the American League you had 7 play 10 and 8 play 9 in a 2-out-of-3 series to make it to the playoffs. So they all came back midway through the first period. They just come walking on the bench in their gear and like the crowd started to go nuts and all the boys were like, "Yeah, now we can actually win," and we won the game. We won the game. They came back, they played 2 games, but that's I don't know how we got there from the Heisman Trophy winner. But anyway, my point is, Marty, that would have been an awesome diss or dat, but What an amazing, like, we don't hear about that stuff anymore where guys have, you know, multiple offers to go and play different sports. That's the only thing I don't like about hockey is that hockey now is 12 months a year from the age of 12.
No.
And these kids are all playing multi-sport. They play at high school. They go play baseball in the summer. They play football in the fall. And, like, they get to play multiple sports. That's
because
my only...
Because the baseball and the high football seasons don't coincide. Like, baseball is a spring sport that leads into the summer, and then football is a late summer fall sport, so you can do both.
But everybody feels that if you go and play baseball in the summer, if you're a good hockey player, and you guys coach younger ages, that if you're a really good 13-year-old hockey player, the best probably interest to stay in the highest level is to play year round.
No,
these other kids are going
some
to play.
People some people think that, but
exactly. So, like, that's why I like other sports, because they allow you to play.
You need
other
to disconnect.
Sports.
You need to disconnect from your sport
totally
to
agree.
Become a better athlete, and playing other sport is great. Now, there comes a point where you're in college. If you want to make a career out of it, you probably pick one sport and commit to it, and that's normal. That's why it's rare to see college athlete excelling in two sports to be able to turn pro in both sports, because at one point you got to say, I'm going to pick hockey, or I'm going to pick football, I'm going to pick baseball, to be able to put the best chances to make a career out of it. That's what happens. But anyway.
Okay. Well, moving on. We have to talk about the Sabres game last night. Instigators, Andrew Craig and Marty here on Tuesday. Tomorrow, big show. Jeremy Roenick at 10:30, as he always is. And Rhett Warner, Retro Warner. Was he number 4?
Yep.
He was number 4. Number 4, if you remember the iconic duo of Jay McKee and Rhett Warner, off the glass and out, boys.
If it was
a lot of grenades being thrown around there,
I was going to say, if it was a D2D pass, it was not being handled properly. At the
I remember,
end.
And I'm going to say,
you know
this.
What? You guys say that and you laugh, but I'll tell you that was not the case. As much as they were not the run and gun offensive guys, they were very, very good. And I remember playing against both of those guys, and when they were a pairing, they were outstanding. They were both very young, but they were both very physical. Warner had a certainly a switch to him, a little bit of a nasty streak.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, defensively, they were as good as you're going to get for two guys, young guys playing
together.
So
we roll into Calgary my rookie year, and Rhett's playing for Calgary, which is why we're going to have Rhett on. He does a radio show out there also, and he's going to be getting off the radio, and he'll be joining us. But Rhett had just been traded there for Drury, and it was my rookie year. And McKee said, hey, look out for Retro Boys. Marty, you were on the team. He goes, look out for Retro Boys. You know he likes to go cross ice, and they're normally grenades, so you can attack on it. That's what Jay said. I'll never forget it. I'm like, wow. He totally just sewered your buddy. But anyway, it, kind of funny. But anyway, Rhett Warner is going to join us tomorrow at 11:30. I probably won't mention that, but I'll ask him about running nude down the Red Mile at the Stampede, Marty. I'm sure that'll fire up the interview right off the bat. So
he'll love it.
Yeah, I think he will. So let's talk about the Sabres rolling into Calgary, because I want to try to put last night's mess behind us as quickly as possible. Is there, you know, the cliche, you know, way to get yourself out of this? I mean, was it just a bad game? Do you buy my excuse that I made for the team about Friday game? You travel Thursday, you play Friday night, you play Saturday at home, you practice Sunday, you leave Sunday to go to Edmonton, you get into Edmonton, then you have your time change, then you have a 9 o'clock game. Look, I played 3 minutes a night, five maybe, so like for me, I couldn't imagine having to play 15 to 20 minutes, 22 minutes. It's hard for guys. I think that's something that people don't take into consideration with pro athletes. They just think everyone goes through it. Everyone's in the same situation. So is there any merit to my little bit of a bone that I want to throw these guys, or no? You're not. Rivs has tired face, droopy face.
I'll throw that one to Marty, and I agree with what Marty's going
no,
to say.
I put no. And the reason why I put no, I don't buy in, or I don't give him a pass for the travel, because it's not just been the travel. They've had some time off. They've had some optional skates. They've had some maintenance days. They've had some full-out days off. And Phil Housley, after the game last night in Edmonton, said, I don't know if he used the word lack, but he basically used the word preparation and execution in a negative way. It's just like we have a lack of preparation or a lack of execution, or our preparation and execution is not good. And when I hear that, I think, well, to get better with execution, you have to practice. You have to be on the ice. You have to work on the power play. You have to work on the defensive zone coverage. You have to work on the neutral zone transition. If I'm playing on the line with you, PD, and the game is really fast in the National Hockey League, when I have the puck, I have to automatically know or think where you're going to be and where my next option is. Well, if you don't have the practice time, then the execution is not going to be there, because every time I have the puck, I'm going to have to look up. Where is Andrew? Where is Rivs? How do I make the play? Oh, boom, I lose the puck, or I create a turnover, or I give the puck away, and then we're chasing again with defending.
Sounds pretty accurate for my line.
Well, it was accurate for last night.
I know.
You know, so preparation and execution comes with practice. Practice, you keep repeating the same drills, you keep repeating the same practice habits, and if they're good practice habits, they will show in games. But if you, and I hate to say that, because I like the day off as much as the next guy when I played, but I could feel after a couple of weeks where I had just been on the ice a little bit here, or I had 20-minute practices, that I became sluggish. I became not as sharp in my movement, not as sharp in my ability to read the play. And then I would tell, you know, that's what I loved so much about being a backup, is we would be on the ice and we would work and work and work and work. And then you get into that rhythm, and then you don't feel tired anymore.
Yep.
And then you're like, wow, bring it. You know, let's go. We have 3 and 4. Let's go. We're ready for it.
Yes. I do not believe that at this point in time. I mean, we're kind of at the halfway point in the season. Last thing we should be talking about is how difficult their schedule has been, and a little bit of travel. I said everybody's dealing with the same thing. These guys are professional athletes. They have never been in better shape. They're like machines. They take care of themselves. They eat properly. Everything is given them to make sure that these guys are rested and finely tuned. And yes, there's going to be players that play with some nagging injuries and some bumps and bruises, but this is not an excuse whatsoever.
Is there going to be a lineup shakeup going into Calgary, whether somebody sits out or like line changes? You know, I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on it. I mean, you have Pilot there. There's merit to sit guys, but then there's also merit to let them play through tough games. I believe in that too. So, but do we see lines shifted around? Do we see Housley trying to get maybe more creative to generate more offense, more chemistry, better balance in your lineup?
I don't see a change at forward. And the reason why I'm saying that is because in the past, and especially this year, if a game was getting away from Phil Housley and from the Sabres, he would make in-game changes to his lines that would kind of start the conversation, where is he going to go next game? He didn't do that against the Edmonton Oilers last night. He kept the same four lines. What he did is he changed his D-pairing. He went with Dahlin and Ristolainen. He went Bogosian and McCabe, and kept Scandella and Beaulieu together. So I think he was looking to see if he can make a change in their top 4D to see what that would result in. I anticipate a change with somebody coming in, either Pilot or Hunwick, or maybe both of them come in. I think he may give Beaulieu a pass, again, because I think it was his first game. You keep playing Beaulieu, but I think Pilot comes in.
To bring in Pilot and Hunwick into a game where you're going into the lion's den. And they're all hungry. Calgary is a machine right now. They're not just a normal, hey, we're playing the Calgary Flames. That's great. The Red Mile. No. This team is a finely tuned machine right now. They have depth through their forward position. They are deep on defense. And they've got some goaltending right now. And even from a young guy that
David Riddick.
I mean, he is the real deal. He's playing exceptionally well. This team overall has everything. I mean, they have the star-studded talent. They've got the aggressive high-end talent in the Matthew Tkachuk. They've got third-line center in Mac Janikowski, who no one even knows about, but he's 6'4" and he's 215 pounds, and he's a 40-point pace guy. I mean, Sam Bennett, who was drafted, fourth overall in his draft, I mean, has not become maybe the, I think he was fourth or fifth overall, has not become a fourth or fifth overall pick. But I'll tell you right now, he is a very tough, physical, strong player, and he's fitting in well on that third line. You got James Neal. Remember James Neal last year?
Real deal, James Neal.
Real deal, James Neal is playing on the third line in this team. He's not playing very well because all the offensive opportunity is given to the top two lines.
Who do you bring in, Andy? Would you make a change?
I would not make a change. I would in this game in particular. Really? I'm going to tell you right now. As much as Scandella, I think, has struggled a little bit at times this year, I'm not going to throw that pilot to the wolves.
Don't you
got to
get Hunwick good to go?
Hunwick is good to go. But here's the thing: I don't know
that he hasn't played in a month and a half. I mean, you're going to throw him to the wolves.
He didn't play bad. He played
with
Gouley
in Boston.
When he came
back, that first game back after his very first game this year. You know, he wasn't outstanding, but he was talking.
He was actually very.
Do you know why?
Good.
Because he's a veteran guy, and just keeps simple.
It's emotions too.
Well, okay, fine.
First
but I
time
mean,
he's
knows
played
how
in a
to...
long time. He was emotionally invested. His Spidey senses were tingling. I mean, he was engaged in that game. But you know what? I mean, Hunwick's a nice player, but he should have been put into this lineup. I mean, we already have six. And we have Pilot as a seven. You're not going to go to your eighth guy and bring him in, especially in a game against Calgary. I mean, they're going to be hungry.
Is he your eighth guy, though?
Is
he really your eighth?
Casey Nelson is hurt, but I think Casey Nelson isn't there.
I think there's kind of like a group of guys in there that you could jumble together as your five and six guys.
I think what I do
just trying
is
to put
I,
it
can
I,
our decor play better.
Unfortunately,
you need them to play better. Can they play better? Yes, they can. As a unit to play a lot.
And they need to collectively in that locker room take a deep breath and get back to playing a little bit more simple hockey, keeping things in front of them, making the movements. You know, don't try and get out of your comfort zone. Stay in your comfort zone, play good, strong defense, and this team
Marty,
will be okay.
Chris, do you think
there had to have been a goalie plan going into this trip, right?
Yeah, but it's all
Does
the window.
Does it deviate because it's of all that? The window. So do you tell your goalie who's playing tomorrow? Do you tell him today? Do you let him know? Or do you?
Yeah, tomorrow's Linus Olmark.
For sure.
And you know what?
And you know why you
Unless
you know
he
why
gets
you
blown
that?
Out of the water, you go back Linus on Friday. I think that's just to finish the stretch here. And then you reevaluate at the after the All-Star break and
you
all
say
of that.
Say that again. But you're going with Allmark.
Unless something
in Calgary. Yes. And I would do the same thing because I would not want to put Carter Hutton in there and have him go and get absolutely throttled again by a team that has the capabilities of scoring a lot of goals.
Well, I want to go back to the D conversation, though, sure. Because, Rives, we've talked about Phil Housley needing to send a message through the lineup that a game like Edmonton and getting blown out 7-2 is not good enough. To lose in Carolina the way that they lost in Carolina is not good enough. Although they battled against Tampa, to have leads slip away and give up goals right after you score is not good enough. And I don't want to pick on Marco Scandella, but I think Marco Scandella is a guy that's very respected in the locker room, that everybody likes. If Phil Housley sits Marco Scandella for the game in Calgary, do you think that message would have a greater positive impact on the locker room to say, hey, anybody can be sitting out? You were that guy that got sit one time.
And That was not me. Like Scandella and me in my situation, it was not Scandella. I was more like along the lines on this team, like a Bogosian. You sit Bogosian, there's going to be, because he is a huge factor in the locker room. You sit Bogosian, you're going to set fireworks off because you know.
Well,
I mean,
can it be setting smaller fireworks by setting Scandella?
I mean Scandella. It doesn't
there's
matter.
There's merit to it.
I mean,
right?
There's merit
so
to it.
I think.
You know what? If he sits,
well, then it's,
no one really
then it's
cares
like,
because
put your money where your mouth is, and or put your money out where your
you
mouth
could
where
start
your money
there, Marty.
Is.
I mean,
listen,
like you
it was
start
a colossal
there, a
failure with all the D. There was a large amount of mistakes made by a lot of our D yesterday, and they were self-inflicted wounds. It's not like Edmonton Oilers played this absolutely incredible game and beat a 7-2. We gave them like three or four of those goals. I mean, we literally handed them on a silver platter. You're going to give a breakaway who trips three times on his way down the ice and still score. You're going to give a breakaway to the best player in the world. These things can't happen. Yeah. The way that they played defense was absolutely brutal. Now you just got to take a deep breath, crumple that one up, knowing that your next game is going to be way harder because the Calgary Flames are no joke. They have a ton of offense. They've got physicality. They've got great defense. I mean, this is a real deal big boy team right now, and they're very confident. So do you sit Scandella? Sure, you can sit Scandella, and you can bring in Pilot, and you can change up the pairings again and hope for the best, but I mean, it's not going to make a major factor. My biggest thing is, and I've said this all along, like if you're going to keep the Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, and Skinner, they need to produce each and every game, and it has to be two goals. If not, they have to be broken up because right now there's a major disconnect between the top three guys in that
line. They're out of balance.
They're out of balance right now. And if you were to take one player, Jack Eichel, he garners so much respect that he's gonna pull people to him. Jack has the ability to make guys better. And you have Skinner and Reinhart stay together, and you put a pivot. I don't care who it is.
Put Evan Rodriguez up there with
Evan
Skinner
Rodriguez. You put
Reinhart?
Casey Mittelstadt. Try make Casey Mittelstadt up there.
All right. Well, which teams in the NHL should be panicking? And should the Sabres go after Jakob Silfverberg? We'll wrap up this conversation and have those ones too. All relevant to the Sabres. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break here with the Instigators. Marty's in. Craig's here in spirit. You got some spirit today. You brought it. He brought the heat today, didn't he, Marty? He came ready to go.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Find out what River has to say. Who should be panicking around the NHL? Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Welcome back. Welcome back to The Instigators. This is
Craig Rabe.
Oh, yeah. He does this all the time to me, like it's some sort of panic, like, hey, take us back. I can't breathe. But I brought us back.
That's not what I said. For everyone out there, I'm just trying to get you, you know, like take a quarterback. Say I'm like the veteran starting quarterback. I get all the reps in practice and, you know, training camp. You're the backup, okay? Just you're the backup. And occasionally you need to get reps just in case I get hurt or I can't go or I'm just not playing well. You got to be ready to go. What if I called
understudy? It's called the understudy.
What if I called in sick last week? I couldn't call in sick. You know why? Because you're not primed, ready to go. You know, I gotta groom you, young Skywalker, so that I can take a day off every night.
I like to think of myself as the third string because Marty would get called in for the backup play. Don't you think, Marty?
Duffer.
Well, and I guess I'm not even on the team. I'm on the practice squad, and I'm okay with that.
No, you're not in practice squad. I would like to have a show where you're in charge, and we called it Grumpy Instigators with Craig Rabe.
Why does everybody think I'm grumping? I'm the happiest guy ever.
Do you want to know what's amazing, Craig? Is that one of our friends and other people claim that it's a shtick. Oh, I'll go with the shtick. It's not a shtick. I am attracted to your negativity, you know, like positive energy, negative. You need a little bit of both. You know what I mean? I need a good balance, and I'm super positive, and I feel like you just bring me down to planet Earth. And I was playing with one of your old teammates the other day in an alumni skate, and they go, how,
who's that?
Don't worry, I can't name names, Tim Kennedy. And he says, how's Riv doing? I go, Riv's is Riv. I go, Riv's is Riv. He goes, yeah, I know. And he goes,
yeah, I know.
what the hell does that mean?
What it means is, you are the greatest guy in the world, but man, you can be tough to talk to sometimes, you know? Like,
that's because I do not like generally talking. I don't like talking to people. So that's one thing I have, you know.
Well, that's why you talk
to
people.
Listen to me. TK, for starters, was a rookie, and I didn't talk to rookies. I was kind of like the Red Fisher of, like, I didn't talk to rookies at all. Anyway, that's not true. I love TK. Tim Kennedy is awesome.
He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And I wish that we'll have him on. We're gonna get him on. I told him one day. I said, hey, you gotta come on one day. We'd love to have you on.
Yep.
And so it was great to see him. And man, can he still skate?
Oh yeah, great mitts, great everything. Had everything.
But anyway, he smiled. I go, Ribs is Ribs, and he just, you know, that.
Did
Tim
he,
Kennedy
did he have
quiet.
His tooth in or out?
He was sans tooth. No.
Sans?
Is it sans?
Sans. Sans toot.
Marty, I don't ever try to make French.
No,
my
but
second
that was
language.
Good. I like it.
Thank you. I did that for you.
Sans toot. Yeah, like saber toot.
Sans toot. Sans toot. Okay, so let's do our buy-sell trade. Let's just get right into it. So Sabres, tough loss last night. Very tough loss. They head into Calgary tomorrow, 9:30 game, which means what, Marty? What time are you on the tube?
9 o'clock.
Nine
Eastern.
Bells. Nine bells for Marty and Duffer in the pregame show tomorrow night.
Put the kids to sleep and watch Duffer and I on the pregame.
And then you can go to sleep and watch Marty.
What?
I forget.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
See,
go
you're
ahead,
not yeah. grumpy. That is why people think you're grumpy.
What?
What did I say? Go ahead, Petey.
Okay. Buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. So, you know, talking about moves and shaking things up, Jakob Silverberg is a UFA, and Ducks general manager Bob Murray on the future potential of UFA Jakob Silverberg. I'll take another crack at signing him. He's a good hockey player. He's one of the ones who is standing up and being counted. So buy, sell, trade. Sabres should go after Jakob Silverberg. River, we'll start with you. Whether it be at the deadline or in the off season, I mean, just it. Go after, not necessarily make a deal for him today, but maybe.
Yeah, he's an interesting player. I think he's a 40 40-point guy, 45-point player in the National Hockey League. Nothing more than that. He's done that in the last his last four seasons. He's on pace for the exact same thing this year. He's on pace for another 40-point season. He's a good hockey player. Do I think he's outstanding and he's the guy, one of the guys to go after? I mean, no, I don't. I think that is he a rental? I don't know if that's the right thing to even get into on this team.
Let's say I'm asking you this question on June 30th before the July 1 deadline, and I say, should they go after Silverberg as a UFA?
Yeah.
You know, and he's looking at what, four or something? Four and a quarter, 4.5 million.
A lot of money. Four and a half million for a 40-point guy? I mean.
Marty, what do you think? River, you're selling this?
I'm going to sell this, okay. Yeah.
I'm selling this because I don't want to bring a guy in that is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. I don't think Jacob Silverberg makes a big difference in our lineup right now because you have a lot of Jacob Silverberg around our team right now.
And to be honest with you, can I just stop and add just something? I want to see more Tage Thompson. I want Tage Thompson to continue to get rest. Marty, don't do this to me.
No, I said yeah.
You gave me that.
No. I said yeah.
Tage Thompson, I want to see more of him. I want to see him continue to make his mistakes and understand certain situations in the game. I want to put him in tough situations. This guy, 6'5", he's 210 pounds. He is going to continue. He's a very young guy loaded with skills, great shot. I mean, he just needs time to develop and be a little stronger and. I love him, and by bringing in Silverberg, you're kind of like taking a little bit more time away from a Tage Thompson.
Silverberg plays the right side, right? So you have Reinhart, Thompson, Pavel Villaposo that are on the right side right now. So you have to get rid of one of those to add Silverberg on your lineup. I mean, Pominville is a UFA at the end of the year. Oposo's not going anywhere. Neither is Reinhart or Thompson. I don't see the space don't break the microphone Petey. I don't see the space for...
Or the need to bring him in
Jakob Silverberg right now. Okay. If he had 3 years left at $3.5 million and you're like, hey, there's a 40-45-point guy that's making $3.5 million, but if that was the case, the Anaheim Ducks wouldn't be looking to trade him.
That's right.
So it's a bad situation to walk in. Unless you're a team that is loaded and just needs a little depth and would be washing your hands of them at the end of the season, that's the only situation that's possible.
Okay, I'm gonna jump on board with you guys. I like him as a player. I think he could be a good asset to a team. If the Sabres ended up signing him in the offseason as a UFA for the right price and he can fit under the cap, I'd be happy with that acquisition. But I'm not going to go out of my way to make a move as a rental.
He plays on the first line with Getzlaff and Raquel, right?
So you might have a legit second line right winger here on your squad. And
Getzlaff has 31 points in 40 games. Raquel has 22 points in 33 game, and Silverberg has 19 points in 41 game. Like, they're not shooting the stars out of the sky here.
That brings me to my next topic because the Athletic
any interest
did
an Adam Henrique?
No.
He just signed a long-term extension in Anaheim, 5.85. You know, he's second on the team in scoring right now. He's a centerman that fits behind Getzlaff, Kessler, and he's basically sitting in the third line position. But, I mean, always an interesting player there, too.
Lot of money to be paid to him. The Athletic did an article and talking about which teams should be panicking. So Anaheim's number one. I mean, I don't know if that, you know, is obvious. It does, it's, you know, not really a hard call here, the writer says, with 11 straight losses. But number two is Colorado, all right? Number three is the Minnesota Wild. And number four are the Buffalo Sabres. And what he writes is, in the big picture, maybe they're right where they expected to be. But after the highs of the season's first few months, losing 8 of 11 and falling out of a playoff spot can't be fun. The rest of the Eastern contenders are playing well enough that the Sabres are basically losing ground on everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I can agree with this. The first team was who again, Petey?
Anaheim.
They're in shambles right now. They are having a colossal failure. They will not make the playoffs. I just cannot see them making the playoffs. Even though they're tied, there's a three-way tie or actually a four-way tie with 47 points for the last wild card spot. But I really, Anaheim has, they have 0 wins in their last 10 games. I mean, they are having a really tough time. They do not, obviously, when you look at their statistics, they don't have any offense whatsoever.
They scored 112
Anaheim is
goals
in a,
this year.
In a tough situation. Minnesota, I think they're in a little bit different situation. I think they could keep on to that spot because they have the Stahls, the Grunlands, the Koivus, the Nina Riders. They've got the talent on the team, but it's just not going as well as what they've liked. They've kind of been a 500 team, 5-5 in their last 10 games. The Sabres, when I look at them, I understand what people are saying. You know, there's no panic here in Buffalo because we were the worst team in the league last year, but we were also 5 years before that in almost the same situation. We've been a team that has given it's taken the opportunity to continue to develop our players. Jason Botterill said it before the season even started. What are your expectations? Do you want to make the playoffs? And he's like, absolutely, I want to make the playoffs. That is everybody's goal, is to make the playoffs. But what I want from my players is I want them to be in a position that they have to fight for something at the end of the year. I want them to be a couple points out. I want them to be a couple points in. But I want my guys to feel uncomfortable. I want them to learn and feel what it takes to either win or lose out on a playoff race. And I think that's exactly where the Sabres are. Yes, I think we had a little bit of we had our highs when we were on our 10-game winning streak and we were first in the league and, you know, there was rainbows and unicorns and it was amazing. But now we're in reality. And this is okay. The reality right now is okay because we are a team that's still building. And we have a lot of prospects and up and coming players that is going to make this team great for a long time.
It would have been nice to see that New York Ranger effort last night, huh?
Which one? The one right before
the 10-game winning streak.
Yeah, where you play hard and then
played
you
outstanding,
lose.
But they still lost. It would have been great. To see
I'll tell you this: there's a team that I think should.
I'm just joking, Riven.
Okay, and I'm not going to say a team that's in the top four. So you had what? You had Anaheim, Colorado, Minnesota, Buffalo, your top four.
Yeah, and then you have Edmonton, Columbus,
For me,
Florida.
It's number six, the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
Time to panic.
Why?
Well, because you look at the standings right now in the East, okay? And, you know, Buffalo could make a push or whatever, but Columbus is at 57 points, and they have to go for it this year. Because they probably will lose Bobrovsky, probably will lose Panarin, and next year will be a very difficult year unless you can replace those two. They are too big part of your team. Look at Panarin scoring and celebrating, and he's having so much fun, but he's not going to be there. So if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, you're panicking because you're like, we have to win this year, and that means we have to go through Pittsburgh, who's probably the best team in hockey right now.
Do you think they can win, though, Marty?
No.
But the reality is, listen,
Washington,
they don't
Tampa,
have to win this year, Marty.
They do.
They don't.
They're going to lose both these guys, Rip, for nothing.
No. Are you kidding me? You think you're going to lose them for nothing? If those guys aren't signed, they are going to trade them away. There's no question.
Yeah, but then that means you may not make the playoffs.
You're throwing the season away, maybe.
Well, then that's fine because they have Pierre-Luc Dubois. They've got Cam Atkinson. They've got Alex Wenberg. They've got the Boone Jenners, the Josh Anderson. Oh, my God, we love him, eh? They've got Seth Jones, Ryan Murray, Zach Werenski. I mean, they are very, very solid up-and-coming team with the prospect pool and talent. They might, very possibly, they might lose Panarin, but think of what they're going to receive back for that young man.
What are they going to get back for a rental?
Yeah. What are they going to get back for a guy? If he doesn't go to a team where he wants to sign,
listen,
they're not going to get
that. I mean, if you're a GM, do you think that you're just going, hey, everything's perfect? No, they are working currently right now on deals for Panarin, and they're asking...
What did the Sabres get for Evander Kane? A conditional first-rounder, providing that he would sign...
Oh, come on, Evander Kane had baggage like you wouldn't believe.
Panarin didn't sign in Chicago because Chicago didn't think they were going to sign him again, and then Columbus won't sign him because he doesn't want to be there. Panarin, not saying he has the same type of baggage, but he has some baggage.
Great conversation. We got to get to break. Baggage. JJ's in my ear. When we come back, final thoughts of today's show, but we also have to mention a former Buffalo Sabre, Warrior hockey player, announced his retirement yesterday. Tell you more about that when we come back. Instigators WGR 550 and MSG.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
We will always root for the good guys, and Josh Georges was definitely one of the good guys and great career. And we wish him all the best in his next chapter of hockey. I feel like that's a common theme with hockey players and athletes when they retire. You know, there is another chapter, and I think that's important for all players to know.
There better be.
You know, unless you've just made so much money, you can sit back and do nothing, which is, I admire it if you can do that. If you can literally sit around and do nothing, you have a special talent itself. But this is a guy that strikes me as someone who's going to want to be involved. He's going to want to do something.
Do you not see him as a coach?
I see him in junior hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. But I see him as a coach. Josh Georges had a fantastic career. I don't think he was ever drafted. I think he went undrafted. He did go undrafted. He went undrafted. 783
games in the show.
Worked his way through junior hockey. Worked his way through the minors for a few years. Put his name on the map with San Jose. Had a great career in Montreal and was extremely useful for the Sabres throughout his time. He was a guy that. He never quit. And
congratulations to Josh Georges. Awesome career, undrafted, 783 games. Coming up next, One Bills Live with John Murphy and Steve Tasker. Stick around for that, and we'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, Jeremy Roenick, 10:30 tomorrow. Everyone tunes into that one. Stick around 1 hour later. We're going to have former Buffalo Sabre legend Retro Warner all right here, Instigators, 10 to noon, WGR 550 and MSG.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.